عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. الحمد لله. السلام عليكم to all our listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for His deen. May Allah enable us to do what is right, to say what is right, to practice what is correct and right. May Allah enable us to be thankful for this day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Alhamdulillah. We are living in a time that really the fitan of this time has increased. There's so many fitnas happening all around us on a daily basis. And subhanallah, we are seeing in front of us what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forewarned us. Allahu Akbar. And many travel at this time in the year. So very, very importantly, respected Ummah, let's keep in our minds, what are the etiquettes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us when undertaking a journey, when traveling? Remember, our intention has to be correct. Why are we traveling? And keep in mind that Allah's consciousness has to be with us wherever we are. There's no break from the deen of Allah. There's no holiday we have from the Quran and from the Sunnah and from the deen. Wherever we are in the world, deen has to be implemented and uplifted and carried out and practiced. We have to keep in mind that Allah's deen is our goal. Allah's deen is our purpose. If we're going anywhere, have good intentions. Make the intention that we'll carry out Allah's command there. We'll obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. The time of salah, we'll put everything aside. We'll perform our salah there. And also when performing salah, let's make sure we call out the adhan wherever we are in the world, even in the wilderness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Harith Sudai radiallahu anhu, that when you are in the wilderness, فَرْفَعْ صَوْتَكَ بِالنِّدَاءِ, raise your voice when calling out the adhan. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُ صَوْتَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جِنٌ وَلَا شَيْءٍ. No matter what creation of Allah, ins, jinn, animate, inanimate, the rock, the tree, the blade of grass, the leaf that hears the one calling to Allah will testify on Judgment Day that Allah so and so has called to thy greatness. And imagine the virtue our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that that person who performs his salah with iqamah and then performs his salah, salah ma'ahu malakah, the two angels with him, they pray with him. But the one who performs his salah with the adhan and then the iqamah, adhan and then iqamah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that salla ma'ahu min junudillah ma la yura tarafa. So many of Allah's malaika and Allah's creation will attend that call, that if he could see the malaika and the jinn, he would not be able to see the ends of the first saf. Subhanallah, so many will join him in that blessing of salah. So wherever we are. And also remember, salah is such an amazing, captivating invitation to Islam. There are sahaba kiram who embraced Islam on seeing the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't feel shy to perform salah wherever we are in the world. In the airport, on the aeroplane, at the garage, at the bus station. But yes, don't do it in such a way that we're disturbing people right in front of them, screaming out the adhan in their ears. No, give them some space, but where we're not hidden from them, and we are also not hindering or disturbing them. Alhamdulillah. And our salah as well, perform the salah where we're not disturbing them also, nor should we be hidden from them, but we should be at hindsight before them, where we are available to them, where, and subhanallah, if we have the opportunity, we can converse with them. Say to them, we'll be praying. Don't worry, we won't get disturbed. And just give us a few minutes, we'll go to one side and we'll be out of your way. But also, if we get an opportunity to explain to them the beauty of prayer, we should actually seize that opportunity. And thereafter, on the journey, if we have opportunities to make khidmah of people, ikram, there's an elderly person, send your son to help that elderly individual. Elderly female, send your daughter, ma, help this elderly Maya, take her through, push her trolley, push her wheelchair, carry her goods for her. All these are part of the Sunan Mubarakah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلْ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. There's nothing weightier in the scale of the deeds of the believer than good character. There's nothing weightier than good character. This is what we need, akhlaq. The weightiest action on the scale of the believer is akhlaq. So show people akhlaq. We'll win people towards Allah's deen. You're buying coffee, buy for others as well. There's an elderly couple, buy for them. Your wife will serve his wife. You'll pass to him. Your wife prepared some nice sandwiches or some biscuits. Offer people around with the intention of them seeing the beauty of deen. Remember, Islam is incorrectly portrayed in such a manner that they want Muslims to seem barbaric. They want Muslims to seem cruel and harsh. They want people to misunderstand the beautiful slogan, the anthem of Islam, which is the Adhan. They want people to misunderstand that Muslims are trying to mesmerize them, or Muslims are cursing them, or that Adhan is the cry to war, and so forth. This is what they want. We have to, through our character and through our wise words, correct the incorrect version, correct their misconceptions, because the forces of batil in today's time are no more being subliminal. Now they are being direct and explicit. Allah save us. Allah save our children. Allah save our progeny. Not long ago, there was an indirect message where they show, na'udhu billah, the children, this program, that the person touches this pot and the genie comes out. And now the genie says, I am the genie, and whatever you want, I will give it to you, and you got the wishes, and so forth. Now this was indirect. Now there's such things coming out that the child makes a mistake, and instead of saying Santa, the child says, na'udhu billah, Satan. See how they play with the words. And if you look into the history of Santa Claus also, and the whole history, this is all devilish. It was the effect and the effort of the forces of batil to actually create this misconception in people's hearts. This is no person who's part of Christianity. There's no mention of Santa in the Bible as well. This is a whole misconception. One is, it's to make money. The other is actually connecting the children out there with the devil. Now this person makes a mistake, and instead of saying Santa, he says Satan. And see the spelling also, how the agenda behind it, and the devil comes before. And who they'll choose? An actor or actresses that are known to the people out there. And now this actor comes, and he's portrayed to be a very loving person. And the devil says, yes, what can I do for you? I'm here for you. Make your wishes. And you got three wishes. He says, oh, like the genie. He says, no, the genie stole this idea from me. See the blatant endeavors of the forces of batil to usurp the iman of humanity. When Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was asking Allah, wajnubni wabaniya an na'budal asnam, oh Allah, save me, rescue me and my progeny, my offspring, from idolatry, from turning to makhluq, from making shirk, from perpetrating shirk, ya Allah. That's why iman, the worry for our iman, the worry for our children's iman, the worry to die with iman, the worry for humanity to come onto iman is so pertinent, is so important, because Dajjal, this is the time that is right, just in hindsight, is very near. Allah knows best, but the fitan are right before us. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam forewarned us that Dajjal will travel the world in 40 days, and the first day will take a year to go by, and then the second day will take a month, and the third day will take a week. Look at Sahaba's worry. Imagine our children's tarbiyah has to be made so much. Sahaba's reaction, Ummu Shariq radiallahu anha, what they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will we perform salah in that year that takes, in that day that takes a year to go by? Sahaba are concerned. A whole year and our salah? Subhanallah. Imagine Allah gave this ummah the gift of salah. First, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given 50 salahs. That's approximately every 23 minutes we have to return to salah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah for a reduction, because Musa alayhi salam encouraged him, advised him so. And then from 50, we were reduced to 5, and we get the reward of 50. But so many beautiful salahs. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced a situation, a challenge, a mishap, a problem, faza'a ila salah. Hazrat Hudhayfa's hadith, he rushed. He hastened to Salah. How beautiful is Salah? Who is that Sahabi? Hazrat Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi. He was warned when he entered Makkah Mukarramah that be careful, there's a man whose magic, whose sorcery, whose tricks will affect you so badly that it will destroy your entire community. Him being a leader of his tribe was worried and concerned about his people. He was so affected by the exhortations and the misconceptions portrayed by the mushrikeen of Makkah. He says, even when I went to perform tawaf, the circumambulation around the Kaaba, حِنَ غَدَوْتُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ حَشَوْتُ فِي أُذُنَيَّ قُتْنًا أي كُرْسُفًا أي قُتْنًا. I stuffed cotton wool in my ears, that even the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam must not permeate my ear to penetrate my heart. And there, as I was performing the tawaf, I see this man perform such an amazing prayer. And there I said to myself, this salah, so beautiful. This cannot be false. Why do I have to judge him from what they are saying? Now Rasulullah's salah had an impact on them, that this is beautiful. This is talking to the Creator. This is pure. First I was so worried, then I said to myself, I'd rather find out for myself. I awaited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complete his salah. Then I followed him home. I knocked his door. He welcomed me in. I presented my situation. He explained to me the truth. I changed my life. He now sends me to my community. And as Hazrat Tufail returns to his community to motivate them, to call them to Allah, this was his intention. Look at Allah's help with the mu'min. And this is Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum, who has the intention to share the truth. Allah grants him a light shining from his forehead, a special celestial nurani light, nur, that could be seen. But he was sensitive, he says, I was a sensitive person and I worried. I'm coming down the hill and there's nur, like a torch shining from my forehead directly. And I said, Allah, if this shines from elsewhere, not my forehead, they mustn't misunderstand. And Allah transferred it from his forehead onto his whoop, and his whoop was not shining with fire, but with a torch, a natural torch light. And he then arrives at his community and he starts calling them to Allah. And he was quite harsh in his approach. And he was very stern. And his wife supported, and then his parents. But the others of the community were not prepared. And then he says, I realized later that I was too harsh with them. But then at first I thought they'll never change. When I returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrating to him what had happened to my people. And I asked him, O Allah's Nabi, curse them. فَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِمْ Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands and made dua for them. Allahumma hdi dawsan wa'ati bihim. O Allah, guide the dawse people. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated this dua thrice. Ya Allah, guide them. You bring them. Ya Allah, guide them, you bring them. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then called Hazrat Tufail and said, O Tufail, go back to your people. Don't give up on them. Irji' ila qawmik. But now when you give them da'wat, be polite in your approach. Be kind in your words. Be soft and tender in your presentation of the truth. Because there are many good people among your people like you. فَإِنَّ فِيهِمْ مِثْلُكَ كَثِيرٌ There's many good people out there. Just today, Allahu Akbar, yesterday, subhanallah, after the Jumu'ah, there was a youngster that approached and he was in tears. And as he was speaking, he was actually emotional. And then his heart started paining. And then when he was ready to speak, he's saying, what you're saying was so true. I was in a school, and look at the sad plight of our Muslims today. He says, I was in a school with non-Muslims, Africana, European, local Zulu, Sotho, such good people. They made me feel so warm and so comfortable. And then I moved to another school where there's only Muslims, and everyone is learning the Quran. And the way they made me feel, they made me feel unwelcome. And they would judge me and they would deem me an outcast. And then after a few months, I mustered up the courage and I spoke to them about it, that this is how I'm feeling, the way you'll chase me out. And then they actually started mocking me and they started gossiping about me even more. And this child started crying. Allah forgive us. How can, and then he says, you know, those non-Muslims deserve the deen, but we're not conveying the deen to them. Respected mothers, respected fathers, respected brothers, respected sisters, teach our children akhlaq. Let's teach them. Make others feel appreciated. Don't make others, don't break the hearts of others. Don't mock and laugh at others. Don't belittle and look down upon others. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam detested those ways. He never wanted anyone to look down upon the other, to mock the other, make the other feel, you know, unwanted. But actually, the one who was outcast, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that person feel special. That individual who was, for example, gigantic and no one was inviting him, Hazrat Jahjah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, but you will come with me. You will come have meals with me in my home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Jahjah because in Sahaba's time, daily people were coming. And Sahaba used to take all the guests home, and at night they used to feed them and then teach them. And after Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take the report back from the Muslims, the new Muslims that came to Medina Munawwara to spend few weeks there. Some most embraced Islam, others were still non-Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take reports from them. How did my Sahaba treat you? Kayfa wajadtum ashabi? And they would give the report. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be so happy with his Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, that Sahaba making effort upon people. But this Jahjah radiallahu anhu, no one was taking him the first day. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam served him. And whatever was presented, he devoured everything. And the second day, no one took him again. And when he had meals in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home, he ate with etiquette. He ate with akhlaq. He ate with consideration. Subhanallah. Hazrat Ummu Ayman actually was peeping to see, is this the same person? The previous day we had to milk the animal 7 times to present to him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, see, now he's eating with iman. Iman is to eat with bismillah, to eat with consideration. So whenever you're traveling, wherever it is, mashallah, our Muslims travel with their braai meat, travel with that lovely biryani, akni, tolan rice, whatever it is, put in a nice container and send to the neighbor, the next door room, the next door chalet, send your child, take this to uncle next door, because you greeted them earlier when they were there, send some nice biryani with the intention of hidayah, you bring that nice meal, send some lovely sausages also to Fanda Marwa next door, or whoever it may be, with the intention of hidayah, then you're there with your children, greet the children of the others politely with akhlaq also. Let's show this akhlaq. People are traveling. Safar means to expose, because journey exposes the actual reality of a person's character. That's why let's show good character. Let's ask Allah to give us good akhlaq. And even the dua on the journey. Read in the Riyadu Saliheen, the etiquettes of travel. Read in the Hayatul Sahaba, the etiquettes of travel. In the Kitabul Adhkar, the duas on travel. Subhanallah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he would read. And the first dua is in Surah Zukhruf. Subhanalladhi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that you may embark on this conveyance. لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ. You get onto this conveyance that Allah has given you, and you must read and praise Allah. وَتَقُولُ, what do you say? سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا. Ya Allah, you are perfect. You are free from every blemish. Ya Allah, Subhan, Allah is perfect. That Allah, you are that being who made this conveyance available to us. Whether it's the aeroplane, whether it's the train, whether it's the bus, whether it's a conveyance, a vehicle, a motor vehicle, whether it's a kumbi. Allah, you made it available to us. Whether it was the horse or the camel. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. Ya Allah, you made this subservient to us. You enabled us to ride this conveyance. Sakhara lana hadha. Wama kunna lahu muqrinin. We have no power over it. Ya Allah, you have all the control. Meaning if Allah wants, we can't go anywhere. And if Allah wants, we'll reach our destination. And also, the dua starts with Subhanalladhi, because everything has weaknesses, has faults, has side effects. Allah alone is perfect. You can drive brand new, my brother. You can have the best ticket, my sister. You can be flying first class too. There has to be blemishes, because Allah alone is perfect. We don't even know if that vehicle will reach its destination. That's why in the Surah Yasin we read that, O Allah, You take us nicely, because Allah Ta'ala tells us there in this chapter that if we gave you life, وَمَن نُعَمِّرُهُ نُنَكِّسُهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, after that we diminish them, we lessen them, we take them backward. And in, also Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ, if we willed it, this is the plural of glory, we would transform you. لَتَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ عَيُنِهِمْ. And also Allah Ta'ala says, لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَكَانَتِهِمْ, we could transform you into something else wherever you are. And if Allah wills, فَمَسْتَطَاعُوا مُضِيًّا, they would not even be able to proceed on their journey. Meaning a person thinks he's going, but if Allah wills it, he won't even know where he's going to. So sometimes you might think, oh, we're going there, and maybe a man's really getting old, he forgot where he's going. He went somewhere to the kitchen, but he actually forgot why he actually went to the kitchen. Allah is telling us, if Allah wills, we won't even know why we're going there or where we're going. وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ, leave that. If Allah wills, we won't even know the direction of how to go back home. وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. How much we need Allah. That Allah, you are perfect, you are pure. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. We don't have authority and control. Allah, it's your full authority and control. And then subhanallah, amazing is this part of the dua. We think we're going to some destination. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. Look at the emphasis in the Arabic language. That indeed, most certainly, most definitely, we to our Lord alone. So when you translate it in English, actually it seems strange in the English, but this is the emphasis of the beauty of the Arabic language, the rhetoric, the emphasis in this. To our Lord alone, to our Allah alone, most definitely is our return. So we think we're going to some destination, but our actual journey is towards our Allah, towards the Akhirah. We all are going. Let's make right with Allah. So even the journey in this world should remind us that where we can uphold Allah's deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed those who were keys to good and locks to evil. And wherever we go, don't become a lock to good that's happening, a fitna, and a lock, good is happening, but we become a hindrance to that good. And wherever bad is taking place, we instigate it and initiate it and entice it. Let's not spread fitna in the world wherever we go, but spread khair, spread rahmah, spread mawadda. If we make a mistake, apologize. If we do something good, thank Allah who gave us the opportunity to do the good. And there's so many du'as. Allahu Akbar, the takbir. Sahaba used to recite takbir when going up the hill. They would recite tasbih, subhanallah, when going down the hill. And also, subhanallah, we ask Allah in these du'as, إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ فِي سَفَرِنَا هَذَا. Allah, we beseech you on this journey to grant us righteousness, and Allah, consciousness, al-birra wa taqwa. And Allah, enable us to do actions that you are pleased with. وَمِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا تَرْضَى. Oh Allah, make the journey easy for us. And in the du'a, we ask Allah to protect us from harm, protect us from returns that is horrendous and horrific. And protect us from harm afflicting our families in our presence and absence. And Allah, you take care of our families in our absence and also in our presence. And oh Allah, we ask you, save us from hawri ba'd al-kawr, from leaving good deeds after carrying out good deeds, after good coming into us. It mustn't be this journey distances us from you, Allah, min al-hawri ba'd al-kawr, wa da'wati al-madloom. And ya Allah, save us from incurring upon us the bad dua of the mazloom. Save us from oppressing any of your creation, harming people, irrespective of Muslim or non-Muslim. If we oppress people, their curse will reach us. Allah, save us. That's why our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua when leaving the home also. Bismillah, tawakkalna ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So many blessings to this dua. Another dua taught and learned by Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu anha, that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite when leaving the home. Allahumma inna na'udhu bik an adilla au udal, au azilla au uzal, au adlima au udlama, au ajhala au yujhala alayya. Ya Allah, save me, and Allah, save us all. An azilla au uzal, an nazilla au nuzal. Ya Allah, save us from slipping, and save us from being tricked by others. Save us from going astray and misleading others, and save us from being misled by others. Save us from acting ignorantly. Save us from others acting ignorantly with us. Save us from oppressing anyone. Save us from being oppressed by others. And even this tripping and slipping is, save us from accidents. Save us from causing it for others. Save us from being going through an accident through, due to the negligence of others. That's why even we can share with the Christians this news that, see, the religion of truth advocates not to drink. And there's so much of information concerning this. What does alcohol cause? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam did not drink. And look at it. In the name of Christ, people are drinking so much and going further away from the Almighty. Talk to them politely about this. And on your journey, carry the translation of the Quran Kareem as well to share with others the beauty of Islam. Carry some literature, some good information, some motivation. Carry the book of Ta'leem to do Ta'leem with our children on our journey. But the other literature we carry so that when we make ikram of others, we also share some literature on Islam. Simple books, just one message. Simple book, Islam is. Simple book, a brief illustrated guide to understanding Islam. Keep it in your handbag. Your hand luggage, and wherever you see opportunities and your intention is there, Allah will inspire you where to share and where to present. وبارك الله فيكم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.